Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. It's tight. Here we go.
That song brings me back. That is Run DMC, one of the first really massively popular rap groups in the United States and the first successful signed group for Def Jam Records founder Russell Simmons. In addition to Def Jam, Russell Simmons has a very popular fashion house, Fat Fashions. Baby Fat is part of that. A seeming unending string of charitable projects and the new TV show that you may have seen ads for, seen the show itself, Running Russell Simmons. Also, a new book out, Super Rich, A Guide to Having It All. And Russell Simmons joins us now. It seems like you should have called it A Guide to Pretty Much Doing Everything All at the Same Time. I would be interested in reading that even more. But let me ask you about the book itself and the concept about Super Rich. Do you think that's a reflection of sort of this bling culture that has came about in the past 10, 20 years?
Well, I wrote a book a few years ago and Oprah embraced it, and it was called Do You? And it was about the self and, you know, what and the power of the self and like delving inside. And she made a real big deal out of it. It was a bestseller. And so many people thanked me for the book. And the principles were based in the Yoga Sutras and the yogic philosophies, or everything that was in all the scripture was in the Bible, the Quran, the Torah. I mean, all the same ideas that we all know already. I just had to reframe those ideas. And this book is kind of a follow-up because so many people told me it affected their lives in important ways. And so I wrote this new book, Super Rich, and it's about the same. All of us are looking for peace and a relationship with the world that is comfortable and at ease. And so Super Rich is kind of a substitute. It could have been called Samadhi or Nirvana or Christ Consciousness or any of those things that each religion has
a
name for.
Brand, though. You know,
but I had to brand it.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't call. I can't call a book Samadhi. But so the book is about this state of consciousness, the needing nothing. Right, the state of needing nothing is a good kind of
super rich outside of money.
Yeah, but also that when you need, you know, when you operate from abundance, you know, you want to be a servant, a good servant. You want to be a good giver. And good givers are good getters. And so lots of people are interested in worldly success. And this book is a roadmap. And the road to enlightenment is paved with, you know, gold or riches or toys. And so...
Well, I need some enlightenment, though, on that subject there.
Okay.
We're talking with Russell Simmons here. You're worth, upwards of $350 million. Oprah's, you know, worth $1 billion, maybe. I love it that you guys stumble onto the sutras and yoga and these mantras after you become sort of independently wealthy. What's your advice for some of the other folks who maybe don't have that sense of autonomy and that safety net sort of put away?
Safety net.
Spiritual or otherwise.
I don't – listen, you can have a mansion, but your ass can sit in one seat at a time. That's a fact. You learn that when you have more seats, and you also learn that when you have no seats. So, you know – That's the reality. Life teaches you these things, whether you have money or don't. Over a period of time, you're forced to operate in order. They promise you it in every scripture. Here's a direction. Follow it, and it'll promote a lot of ease and it'll promote, you know, a happiness. And so it's not something you learn from being rich. It's something you learn from living. And a lot of it you have innately. You know not to put your hand in the fire. And sometimes you learn that you like the early morning meditator better than the late night drunk. I was a late night drunk. You know, I learned about, you know, I there's no drug I didn't try. I sold drugs. I was in a gang. I have history. I learned that I like a different life. You know, I like the ease that I have here. And I think that, you know, it's something you learn without money. Oprah's not the only person that talks about enlightenment. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like something I learned because I'm a hip hop mogul, whatever. You know,
well, it certainly explains your longevity.
It's like I didn't discover yoga. I discovered yoga because there was hot girls in class. You know, 20 years ago, almost. You know,
there's still hot girls in yoga.
I know, but there are more men now.
You know,
which is
probably
okay.
Very unfairly, black urban culture has been blamed for sort of the bling attitudes among, and I mean, that's one problem
that's so
in and of itself.
Though.
But I want to talk about...
You mean the fact that the poets can express what we think? And that the things that we glamorize on television all day, and the way men, the sexism that men exude, and the homophobia that we have in this country, or this, whatever it is, that all the phobias and isms that come out in rap records are simple reflections of our culture. And I don't think that, in fact, I think the rappers are less sexist than their parents, certainly. The fireman, who's the father of Ludacris, I'm sure, or whoever, Snoop Dogg, is probably much worse than Snoop Dogg. Or, you know, I think the rappers are less sexist, for instance, than the preachers and, you know, the pastors. I mean, so I don't think I don't think of the artists. He said unfairly, so we brought it up. And there's no reason. They're less homophobic, less sexist, less racist, and not as gangsters as our government, okay? That's the rappers. We can get off them. I want to share that with you.
Yeah,
it's true.
No, I think that's good. Is there a responsibility, though, for art to be more than a reflection, to drive as well?
Yeah,
there's a responsibility for each artist to express what's, you know, foremost in his consciousness. And that's it, you know. If Kanye West says George Bush don't like black people, then it's what a lot of people are thinking, and he said it, whether it's true or not. You know, in terms of fully true, 100% true. I mean, if it had been Beverly, maybe it was poor people he didn't like. You know what I'm saying? He would have touched down if it was Beverly Hills. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's
right.
Poor people, maybe. I don't know what he doesn't like. Right? But I'm just saying he said what a lot of people believe. And that was what an artist supposed to. Not only, he didn't always have to do that either, but commercial artists generally say what a lot of people believe.
You know, I'm always struck by your career and in the kind of juxtaposition of your extremely successful commercial interests and your charitable projects, which are all very pragmatic. I mean, you seem to be really drawn to the things which are nuts and bolts kind of projects. I mean, the interest-free credit cards, so somebody has something in their wallet that's not going to make them poor, I guess. Things that are maybe, you know, not poetic, but pragmatic and sensible and common sense solutions to things.
Well, my financial service company was the first of its kind. Walmart and many other people have them now. But the idea that people were locked out of the American dream, that they got their check, they went to get a check cashing place, they paid a fortune, they had to get online to pay their bills. They couldn't, 8 to 12 hours a week, by the way, they couldn't use the internet to buy anything. They were just pretty much locked out of everything. And so we created a service for underserved communities. And now I look at it, you know, and this is part of my chapter, Business Yogi. Mm. It's written in a super rich book. To find a business that actually, I mean, that really does good and you're comfortable that it's a great service and then, you know, you can be passionate about that and it has a lasting, stable effect, good effect on your consumer. Anyway, so that business now works better for the middle class than a free bank account. That we build credit, we transfer money, we give away prescription discount cards, we give away, we're finding new services. And the more we find that the technology advances, that we become cheaper than the banks.
Well,
so we're now going to compete with the banks for our customers. That's
where
people are migrating.
Sustainability is a great theme. We got to go. But I just want to ask you, in searching the internet for some of the statements that you've made, one of the ones that I loved was in announcing one of your new fashion lines, you said, there comes a time when Barack Obama is too old to wear Fat Farm. Is that true?
Yeah.
When is it too old to wear Fat Farm?
I sold Fat Farm 7 years ago. My brand in Macy's is called Argyle Culture, and it's a men's brand. A young men's brand. Yeah, I sold it.
So what's the age? Too old to wear Fat Farm? I just want to know.
Well, 54? What's the age?
54?
I'm 53. But I stopped. I sold the brand 7 years ago, but I actually, you know, stopped designing for it 15 years ago. So I'm having a lot of fun designing Argyle Culture. It's in Macy's.
Russell Simmons, founder of Def Jam Records, Fat Farm, Hip Hop Summit, author of the new book, Super Rich, A Guide to Having It All. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. More on all this at thetakeaway.org.